You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was delivered by the Reverend Wallace Schultz. Its title is Real Strength for 92. And now here's Reverend Schultz.
Parade magazine announced the results of the survey. The poll was taken during the month of January, and the people surveyed were asked this question: what do you feel that you need in order to make you really happy? And not all that surprisingly, most people responded by saying, money. Yes, more money, that would make me a lot happier in life. Then the author of the article went on to explain that the ever-present desire for money, the constant dreaming for instant riches, and the endless temptations to achieve riches quickly has also been behind the sweeping movement in recent years to get lotteries approved nationwide. Now there is no question about it. The devil has surely deluded and confused the minds of many people. The devil keeps whispering into people's ears. And maybe the devil has tempted you also. Has the devil ever suggested to you that if you could just win the lottery, that all of your problems would then be solved and you wouldn't have to work anymore? Your retirement would be secure, and you could then give your children and your grandchildren a few things? Now, when the devil comes to you with such a temptation, then may I strongly urge you, by the power of God and for the eternal welfare of your soul, to respond to Satan by saying the very same thing that Jesus said when he was faced with a similar temptation. Man cannot live by bread alone, Jesus said. It is impossible, the Savior explained, for money or lottery winnings or any other material goods in this life to satisfy the deepest needs of our soul. Even the famous rock musician Mick Jagger, who has made millions of dollars, even he confessed, "I am over 40 years old and I am still searching for happiness." And so, my friends, if such a celebrity who has made millions and millions of dollars and who has openly and publicly confessed that money has not brought him lasting happiness, then why are you, yes, why are you letting the devil tease your mind, tempt your soul, and upset, even depress your life with these same illusions? This is 1992, and since we are just getting started with a new year, let me suggest to you to consider a better way. Instead of listening to the devil and consequently following in the faltering footsteps of the deluded and the discouraged, do something better. Follow him who is the way and the truth and the life. Cast your lot in 1992 with the one who guarantees to furnish you with eternal manna, a divine bread which will satisfy the deepest needs of your soul. I am the bread of life, Jesus said, and he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. These wonderful words of Jesus, that whoever comes to him by faith will receive from him the bread of life and never be hungry, these words for many people today are simplistic. They seem laughable and even downright stupid. We live in an age of endless materialism. We live in a society where many hearts have been hardened by the crass secularism of our day. When we feel anxious, yes, when we feel anxious, we don't turn to God. We turn on television, hoping to embrace some sitcom as a form of escapism. When the week is finished and when Friday night arrives, when we have no real friends to relate to because of our selfish and self-centered lifestyles, then we head for the shopping mall. hoping that milling around within the impersonal and lonely crowds and ogling at new clothes or jewelry or power tools at Sears Roebuck or some other secular product, we hope that this is going to satisfy the hunger of our soul. Oh, so secular have we become that the promises of God don't mean anything to us anymore. We treat God's holy word like we treat many of the trite radio and television commercials. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never go hungry." These words are not a jingle from a secular commercial. These divine words are like a modern miracle medicine. These words of the Savior possess a power of deep spiritual nourishment and healing that can never be studied under a microscope nor examined by any specialist. The power of God's holy word transcends all studies in grammar, etymology, or philology. God's word is not merely a grammar or a part of speech, such as a noun or a verb, which is often hooked together in a sentence in order to make a meaning. God's word is a mighty spiritual force capable of transforming lives. And so then this is why the Apostle Peter, by the inspiration, writes like this: "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, that is, through the living and the abiding Word of God." Oh, of course, it is true that there are those who claim to have tried God's living Word, but they say they were disillusioned and nothing happened. All too often, however, the problem is one where people try to make a quick fling with faith. When Jesus said, "I am the bread of life, he who comes to me will never go hungry," Jesus was not inviting us to make a momentary experiment with God. Jesus is inviting you and me to read and to study and to meditate on his word daily. To have real faith in God means to be in communion with him. It means to feast our souls on his life-giving word every day, even as it is necessary if we want to be physically healthy to nourish our bodies on nutritious food every 6 hours. And so, my friends, if we say that we believe in God, this also means that we have faith in his word, a word that is not a type of grammar, but a word that has divine power, coming to us sheathed in the printed page or in the human voice. The eternal and living word is a power through which the entire world was created, and a mighty transforming power through which you and I can also be recreated and changed, taking away our attitude of hopelessness and discouragement and granting unto us a new life of forgiveness and hope. For the Bible tells us that if any man is in Christ, yes, if any man is united by faith to the eternal and living word, then he is also a new creation. Now, of course, it is absolutely amazing to see how many people today misunderstand the uniqueness of God's word. Not long ago, a major Midwestern newspaper carried an interview with the popular actor Gregory Peck. Because of his smooth and rich-sounding voice, this man was hired to make tape recordings of the Bible. And he said that he enjoyed doing this very much. In fact, Mr. Peck said that reading the Bible was very inspirational for him. It was very much like reading poetry or Shakespeare. With this opinion, of course, we would quite vigorously disagree. Reading the Bible is not helpful because it sounds like inspirational poetry or because it reminds one of Shakespeare. Reading the Bible is helpful because it is strengthening because of the inherent power of the living Word of God. One biblical scholar said it best when he confessed that he had tried for many years and in various ways to strengthen his own faith through religious activities. But then when he found out that he could not improve himself in that way, he began reading the Bible every day. Then, he said, his faith began to grow and grow and become very strong. And so then, that is the good news. In God's living word, there is strength, there is life, and there is hope. But this eternal word offers something even more for you in 1992, and that is, God's word is your first line of defense to defeat the devil when he comes with temptations temptations that often cause you to stumble into sin, and temptations that frequently drag you down into the pits of frustration, discouragement, and even despair. Here again, I know it may sound a bit simplistic to say that mere words can provide you with an impenetrable defense against the devil. And so then let's take just a moment to see once again from our text for today what Jesus did. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, how did he handle a situation, and what special weapon did Jesus use against Satan? In the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, we read that Jesus, led by the Spirit, went into the wilderness, and for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. All this time, for over a month, the Bible explains, Jesus ate nothing. Then, when the 40 days were over, Jesus became hungry. And seeing this opportunity, the devil then came to Jesus and said, "If you are the Son of God, then tell this stone to become bread." But Jesus was not tricked. He simply said to the devil, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." The devil, of course, had failed in his first try to trick Jesus. So now he led Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And then the devil said to Jesus, "Jesus, I will give you all of this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore," said the devil, "if you, Jesus, worship before me, it shall be yours." Oh, again, instead of even beginning to consider what the devil said, Jesus simply used the all-powerful word and answered and said to the devil, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil had now suffered a second failure. So in his deviousness, he led Jesus to Jerusalem and had the Savior stand on the pinnacle of the temple. Then Satan said to the Savior, "If you indeed are the Son of God, then throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Again, Jesus did not walk into the devil's trap, but rather he used the all-powerful word. Jesus simply answered and said to the devil, "It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Now, of course, the devil finally realized that he could not do anything to Jesus and that Jesus was using the most effective weapon against him, the Word of God. The Bible then tells us that the devil departed from him. And so then we must ask the question, what does this example from the life of Jesus say to you in 1992? This example provides some very simple and positive and encouraging but also firm and direct advice. For example, when someone where you work begins to flirt with you, remember God's holy word, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." If you are single and someone suggests sexual relationships, remember that all sex outside of marriage is a sin. The Bible knows of no such thing as safe sex. Safe sex is simply man's way of defying God and trying to get around God's absolute prohibition of casual sex or sex outside of marriage. Now, if what I just told you troubles you, then may I suggest that you look in any Bible in the book of 1 Corinthians, and you are going to read from God's word that adulterers and fornicators will not, I repeat, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, of course, I realize that the devil is perhaps not tempting you with sexual sins. Perhaps he is coming to you at this hour and at this time of the year, suggesting that you cheat just a little bit on your income tax. Remember God's loving admonition and encouragement to you, "Thou shalt not steal." Cheating on income tax is simply downright stealing. And so, my friend, our message to you today is a word of encouragement. 1992 can be a very good year for you and for your family. This is all possible as you, with a new attitude, view the Word of God in a new and dynamic way. The Word of God is not like the Word of man.
The word of man is a grammatical expression that we use to communicate with each other. The word of God, however, is much more. It is a dynamic, life-giving power. Nourishing your soul daily and faithfully on God's Word by reading the Bible and by hearing the Word preached and taught, by doing this, your faith will become stronger and your heart will be happier and your burdened soul will be relieved. So then, as you live each new day in 1992 with the Word of God in your heart, this Word will serve as a powerful sword at your side, always ready for spiritual battle, to be used effectively to fight off the devil as he daily confronts you with all of his destructive temptations. But most of all, my friend, in 1992, the Holy Word of God brings you the message that you can have hope in spite of your many failures and your many sins. In his Word of Mercy, God is offering to help you, to strengthen you, to save you, not because you are either good or religious, but simply because God loves you. God is, therefore, looking with mercy upon you at this moment. Believe in the Heavenly Father. Believe also in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. For God, the Bible explains, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. There is hope for you, my friend. Trust completely in the Word of God, that Word which brings a message of help and hope, and trust also in Jesus Christ, the manifested and the living Word. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.